Good morning. It's a wonderful day. And that's one of my favourite choruses, Hosanna in the Highest. I just love it. And if we could really just think about, you know, seeking God for what breaks his heart, that it would break ours, so that we might be worthy of the calling that he's called us to serve him. Father God, we just thank you for this morning. We praise you for your grace and your love. And Father, I just come now, Lord God, to be your servant, to bring your word, Lord God, that your word would be sown into hearts by the power of your Spirit to do the work that you have set it to do, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And I receive it too. God's word is great. Isn't it amazing that we're here now in the end of November? It's hard to believe, isn't it, that a year has gone by so quickly. And it was everyone was saying it's so many months and so many weeks, and now they're telling us it's so many days. And it's the year has gone so quickly, and we know that time is something that we can't hold on to, but we can use time wisely. And I'm sure that many of you at the beginning of this year, 2014, had dreams and desires. I don't believe in resolutions. But not necessarily just because it was the beginning of a new year, but each year we do set off almost thinking, well, maybe the thing that I've been waiting on will come to pass. I was reminded as I was preparing this message of, we were talking to someone the other day that John's desire was always to have an apricot tree. His parents had a beautiful apricot tree. And I remember when I was pregnant with our son, I had a real craving for apricots, and we go over there and John's father would climb up the tree and bring me these luscious apricots to eat. Anyway, John put an apricot tree in, it just did nothing. It was a spindly thing, it just sat there. And I know our son said, dig it out. And he said, no, no, I'll try. And he kept persevering with this tree. Anyway, the thing died. And then about in that same place a couple of years later, whether he'd just thrown a stone or a stone was there, this little tree came up, and it was an apricot tree, and it looked very, very healthy, and it had a lot of bushes, and he used to talk to Eula a lot about it because, as you know, Eula loves gardening, but no fruit, lots of luscious leaves and no fruit. But John kept tending this tree and believing, and he used to say to me, one day that tree is going to produce apricots. And all of a sudden last year, there was an absolute abundant harvest. In fact, he went out one day, it was the year before, and there was one little apricot on it. And it wasn't terribly luscious, it was rather dry, but he picked it in faith and he ate it and he said, there's going to be more. And then last year, after years, mind you, this tree flourished. And it was an abundance. And even Eula, she's here, she'd tell you, she was amazed at how quickly they came up, how ripe and plump and beautiful they were. They were just beautiful. So, you know, things don't always happen in our time, but they happen. Like the ad says, it won't happen overnight, but it will happen. And now I went out the other day and I looked at the tree and I said, what's happened? Or it was a while back now. And he cut it all back. And I said, what'd you do that for? And he said, well, you've got to prune it back, because when I prune it back now, it'll come out with a... So what's happened this year? There's no fruit. But he's still... Except one. He got his one, but he's believing again. And you see, sometimes God does that with us, doesn't he? He cuts things back and we think, God, what are you doing? But it's so there will be an abundance. So John's faith is every time he looks at this tree... But you see, he needs to still tend it and look after it and water it and dig around it and sow fertilizer into it and do all those things. But there's always that hope and that belief that he's going to come out and find this abundance of fruit. And you see, in life, we're like that. We're always waiting for our dreams to come to pass, waiting for the things that we sow into. We all want to make a lot of money. We all want to be successful. We all want to be healthy. We all want to be beautiful. We all want to be slim. We all want to be all these things. And you see, just wanting doesn't always make it happen. We see that God has a set time. And this morning I want to encourage you about trusting God's timing, not ours. Things don't happen in my time. They happen in God's time. But you see what happens, we come to a service this morning and we've had awesome worship. Thank you, Chloe and the team, that was awesome. And sung these songs, and like Pastor Steve said to us last week, do you think about the words that you sing? Because they are life words, as Rachel got up and testified this morning. We need to hold on to those words. But you see, we do, we pray them and we say them and we feel terrific and we say, I'm all gung-ho and I'm going to believe this. And then we go home and it may not be that day or the next day, but the day after we hit a snag. Something comes in to disappoint us and we fall. We forget about the commitment we made. We forget about the promise we made, God. We forget about how we open our hearts to believe that what God said was true. But you see, God's word is life and it's truth, and God cannot go back on his word. It's as simple as this. It's not how much you read it. It's not how much you testify. It's whether you believe it. It's whether you believe it cover to cover. But you see, if you believe the word, then you do not question other things. Now, we're human, we're flesh, we will. But if we have the Spirit of God, he will stir our heart to believe the truth of the word, not the negative of our own thoughts and our own fears and our own failings, because that's where we get to. I want to tell you this morning that when you pray something, when you ask God something that is according to his will, as Pastor John preached quite a few months ago, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desire of your heart. And so it's delighting in his word, delighting in his will, knowing that his word is perfect. Then he will give you that desire. And so we need to believe, not just with our ears, with our very being, that once we pray something according to God's will, it is set. Do you know that? It is set. It is set. It is set. It may not happen tomorrow or next week, but it will happen. Do you believe that? And we need to believe that not just here. We need to believe that when things look the opposite to what we want to believe. We need to believe that in every situation. We have to see this time is set. And you see, once you know that time is set, it takes the pressure off. The Word of God says rest, not stress, in the things of God. And once we get hold of that truth, once we allow the Spirit of God to settle in our heart, Lord, I've asked you in faith. I have asked according to your word, believing it is your will. I believe now that I will see that thing come to pass. And now I rest in that promise. I don't stress, I rest. Because while we stress, God cannot bring us the peace that passes understanding. He cannot bring us the fulfillment. And do you know what happens? I've seen it time and time again, that someone will pray for something and they will say they believe it today and they'll believe it tomorrow and they'll believe it next week. But in a couple of weeks when things start to get difficult, they lose faith. They lose focus. They don't focus on the word. And so maybe in 12 months, 18 months' time, that thing comes to pass. But do you know what? They don't recognise it. Because they are still so caught up in thinking how God's got to do it. And God doesn't always do it the way we would imagine. In fact, often, most times, he does it differently. It comes out of left field. But he does it. And he does things according to his will for my good. His will for your good. It's not about you deciding what is best. It's about trusting him for what is best. Many of you have been praying about things for a long time. I know I have. I've been praying for someone I love for over 50 years. And I've had times in my life where I have felt discouraged. I've never lost faith that it would happen. But Lord, when? And God keeps taking me back to this, resting in him, believing, believing, believing. And, you know, sometimes things happen, which happened this week. The person that I love became very ill. And it was, Lord, Lord. And the Lord just said, trust me, trust me. And in my eyes, in my physical, I cannot see any change. But I believe that God is still working. Because God is not dependent on me. God is working his spirit, and I have to keep coming back that yes, I continue to pray. We continue to pray, but I committed that to him. Unto him whom we commit these things against that day. And so I committed this prayer request to God many years ago. And so I've just kept bringing that before him and thanking him that in his time he will bring it to pass. God promises that there is a set time for your future, but it doesn't tell us when it'll be. You know, if you were to get up next year, or God would speak to you and say to you, next Tuesday morning at 10:30, you will see your prayer answered. You'd be so excited. You would be just elated and you'd race around rejoicing and whatever, but God doesn't do it like that. Just like a simple thing like the apricot tree. God hasn't given John a word, but he knows what the principles of the word are. And so you see, with this situation, I am just to rest with my family member and just love them. Love them and remain faithful to the things of God so that they will see there is no tiring. Because even the other day, there was almost like a looking hard at me to see when things were bad. I know they were looking at me to see, was this true? And obviously there was an emotion, a feeling for them in their situation, but there was a standing strong in faith that I know they saw, and they needed that. They needed that to believe that it was possible. You need to trust God enough to believe that the set time is coming. And that's what I want us to understand, that it is set. It's set like concrete. It's set in the power of his Spirit that it will happen and that we're not to get discouraged. We're not to lose hope. Hebrews 4:3 says, now we who have believed need to enter that rest. God says to enter that rest and believe. The way you know that you're really believing is when you can rest it, when you can leave it there and just keep coming back and acknowledging and praying. This morning, one of my favourite scriptures is found in Habakkuk, chapter 2, 1 to 3. And this scripture comes about. Habakkuk was a prophet, and he was questioning God because the times that he was in as a prophet were evil. Things were terrible, and his heart was to see men and women's hearts change. He wanted to see the land change. He wanted to see good governments come in. He wanted to see things fair in the nation of Judah. But instead, it was evil. And so Habakkuk believed he'd been called for that time, and so he prayed. And then he prayed, but then he started to get desperate, and he started to cry to God, and he prayed that God would come and change things, even bring revival, that God would speak to these people and turn their hearts around. But nothing happened. And so he prayed again. He prayed, and no matter how much he prayed, no matter how much he cried, no matter how much he tore his clothes and fasted, nothing happened. It seemed that the heavens were closed and that God was not answering him. And he became desperate. And he says, O Lord, why have you given me such a burden? Such a burden in my heart and on my soul and on my back that bows me down day and humbles me. Why do you let me see and yet you will not answer? What a thing to say to God. But when you become desperate, that's what you do. And you know, God wants us to tell him how we feel. God doesn't think or want us to expect that we have to speak to him in poetic words. God wants to hear the guts of the matter. When we're in that situation and we're broken, we need to cry out. And God loves that passion. You know, I pray, we all pray, but times when I'm really into something, there's a real burden on my heart, then there's a passion. And that's what God loves, the passion. But the passion to believe that God is at work even as I'm praying, even as I'm asking. And so here we have Habakkuk really crying out. And as Christians, what do we expect? We expect our situation to be transformed like that. We expect that we ask God and immediately he does that thing. We expect instant answers to our prayers. We expect instant salvation for our loved ones. I know I did. I just believed when I was younger that if I shared my faith that everyone was going to think it was wonderful and they were going to turn around. Well, I had a lot to learn. There was a lot of hard going and hard years. But the thing is, it's not hard for me, it's hard for them. And we need to recognise the battle that they go through and love them. But like John, we need to see the fruit. We need to see not the struggling plant, but the fruit. We expect instant healing from illness. We expect so many things. And God has a patience. And he says, have my patience. You see, we can have the faith to believe that God can do it. But have you got the patience to wait for the win? Have you got the patience, the faith patience, to wait for God's timing? Because God's thoughts are not ours. His ways are not ours. His timing is not ours. He wants us to link into him, but we want him to link into us. And God is not going to do that, as he showed Habakkuk. So we learn this lesson from him, that God said to Habakkuk, there is something going to happen too amazing that if I told you now, you wouldn't believe it. But God said to Habakkuk, I want you to do something. He says, I want you to go to the watchtower, not stand, not apathetically, but eagerly and earnestly. I want you to wait upon me for the answer. I want you to stand in patience and rest and trust. Passion and earnestness in faith, but rest in me. And we know the scripture and it says in Habakkuk, for that chapter 1 to 3, this is what God says to him. He says to him, lift up your pen, Habakkuk, and write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that reads it. And that the first point this evening, he could be told to publish it. And so what was God was saying to Habakkuk was, write it out clearly so that even as people pass by, it will be easy for them to see. They won't have to just stand and read it. And you see, what he's saying to us today is, the things of Christ need to be so much permeated into our lives. The Spirit of God needs to be so revealed that we don't have to labour, but that people just see. That people are drawn to us because they see not the evangelism, but they see the trust. They see the peace. They see the patience. They see the love. They see the grace. And you see, those things that have become such a part of our life, we don't put it on and off like a cloth. We wear it all the time. In fact, do you know, the more unaware of yourself, the more powerful you are for God. Because people will see through you if you try to perform. If you stand in church and do all these things just so people think you look good, God will see through that and so will people. But if you earnestly yield your heart to God at those times, the Spirit of God moves through you to other people. It's like anything we do. And so he says to Habakkuk, are you ready to do what I've asked you to do? Are you ready to see that I'm about to answer your prayers? But I want you to do things. And sometimes God asks us to do something that seems very strange. Because Habakkuk could have said, well, Lord, I've been pleading day and night for however long, it was probably years, and now you're telling me to do this. But he didn't say that. He got up and he did what God said. Incidentally, when you go into that quiet place with God, do you take a pen and pencil? Do you write down? Do you know many times over the years, not now, I'd wake up in the middle of the night and have an encounter with God and he'd show me something wonderful. And when I'd wake up in the morning, you know what? I couldn't remember it all. I said, oh, but you see, we get too comfortable, don't we? And we think, oh, Lord, I don't want to get out of bed. I'll remember. So we rely on our own instincts. Now I get out because it's a revelation and it's not to be played with. And God wants me to hold on to that revelation and he wants it birthed. Now, just writing on a paper doesn't make it real, but it makes it realer to me. Once we put it down, it becomes, even just writing something, further commits it into us and we'll remember, or we've got it there to look at later. You know, you've received prophetic words. Do you write them down? Do you go back? I've got things in my other older Bible that go back years and I go back and look at them and read them and I can see many of them have been fulfilled. Many of them are still being fulfilled. But they are happening in God's timing. That's why I'm here today. God knows what His purpose for each one of us. That's why you're here. And so God wants to tell you something. And so Habakkuk was to do it so that he was able to show it, but also it would become part of him. And so in Habakkuk 1, it says, I will climb up on my watchtower now and wait and see what the Lord will say to me and how he will answer my complaint. Verse 2, then the Lord said to me, write my answer in large clear letters on the tablets so that the runner can read and tell everyone else. But these things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Is that awesome? Can you believe that for your own life today? That God is with you? You know, sometimes God does things illogically in our understanding. He'll take us from A to B and to C. But then all of a sudden, sometimes he takes us to STUV. He'll tip us upside down and we think, how did I get here? We've got to be ready and willing to be able to move in whatever thing God calls us. Our God is not a random God. He's a precise God. And when he says something, he means it. He's lined up solutions for you down the track. It doesn't matter what you're waiting for. Our one thing is that we are to be that written tablet. We are to be there because our sole purpose is to bring men and women to Christ. And we think that witnessing is what we say. And yes, there are things we need to say, but witnessing is who we are. The same as worship is not coming to church on Sunday just and raising your hands. Worship is a lifestyle. And worshipping and witnessing go together. When you live a life of worship, when your life reveals Christ in every situation. You know, even yesterday, well not yesterday, a couple of days ago it is now, my dishwasher, I always call it a washing machine, it's a dishwasher, it wouldn't work. The lights all went on, but the water wouldn't pump. And John had a look and he said, I don't know. And all of a sudden Brett came out. And he said to me, Grandma, I think I know what it is. We've got a young man living with us and I've showed him, you don't know, because sometimes I put the machine on before I go to bed, which you do, and he'll get up maybe or get out there before us and he'll open the door without switching it back to reset and all. And I thought maybe that's what had happened. But I've got these, you know what young men are like, sorry guys, they love big glasses, don't they? We have the little ones. And I've got these really big glasses. In fact, I've got some beautiful crystal glasses. And I'm glad she's here. Maria Zammit gave them to me years ago. Beautiful big crystal glasses, and they're at the back. Well, they must have either run out of the tall glasses. So this young man took one of these. And I didn't realise, but he put it in the dishwasher. And it exploded. And there was glass everywhere. Anyway, I cleaned it all up and then I told John when he got home and he said, are you sure you got all the glass? I said, yeah. So it worked, but not really well for 2 days. And Brett said to me yesterday morning, Grandma, I think there's probably glass caught in the pump. And John said, that's what it is. And so we called out a guy and I had other plans, but I thought, well, I've got to be home. I've got to have this thing fixed. And this young man came in and a lovely young fella. He's only been in the country for 3 years. And so we were able to share with him. And he went in and, of course, he found that right down where I couldn't get to in the pump was a piece of glass, just a small piece of glass that held the whole thing up. So he explained it all to us and the workings and whatever. And he's saying, oh, it's not a problem. It's not a problem. And we've had this said before. Our home is not flash, but people say, your home is lovely. It's the presence of God. And so John shared with him, we talked with him, And he didn't seem to want to leave. He was thanking us and we're thanking him. And so he gave us the bill and he took some off it. But you see, that's not for that reason, but you see, people sense the presence. It's like, you know, as Rachel shared this morning, so many people look at the negative and they say, oh, young people are like this. And so, you know, men that go in to do these repairs, they go into some homes and we don't realise, or many people don't realise, the atmospheres that are in homes. Some homes you can go into and there's such tension. There may not be any argument when you get there, but you can feel the tension. And some people are sensitive to that. And so it can be quite a change when someone comes into your home. They will immediately sense, they're used to sensing all the other stuff, but when there is a love and a genuineness and a quietness in your home, they sense that. And so that's the witness we're to be. And so we are to be this witness, so that as people pass us by, they see Christ. They don't have to stand there and ask us for the story of our life. They sense there's something different about us. And then I love it that Habakkuk went and he didn't just stand there. He stood. He stood his ground and he stood eagerly, expectantly, waiting because God said that it would happen. But God said it may not happen in your time. But you see, Habakkuk's stance was an attitude of heart that he's teaching us. That we are to be totally committed to that thing. We are to stand and not be shaken, not be moved. Though the earth trembles and the mountains shake, I will not be moved. We are to stand in the promise that God given us. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. What is it that you've committed to God? You know, there are many things that we have in our hearts that we pray about. There are many loved ones. Many of you today, young people, are looking for jobs. Don't give up. Don't just think, oh, it'll come Sunday. No, God has got that appointed job. If you have studied and if you've trained and you're committing yourself, stand and believe that this is going to come. If you've got financial issues, you know, John and I have seen over and over again where things have been really difficult. You know, I remember we were going, not on one of the big trips, but we were called to go away last year and we had made these plans and things had happened. And so we really committed and we said, God, we know you mean us to go, but things have got to change because we just couldn't see how it would happen. And look, nobody came and gave us a gift, but God just seemed to increase our finances. He just seemed to move things around, and so we were able to go. There was nothing over, but we were able to go. We had the petrol, we had the money, we had to stay in a caravan park at this place, and that was going to be the extra expense. But it happened, because we believed that God had called us, not just to this place, but six, I think it is, years ago now, or 10 years ago, when God laid this on our heart and it was affirmed by the senior council of the CRC, the state council, we believed that as those things came and as we were asked that God would send us. And in faith we believe that. And so we have to stand. If you're standing and wanting your husband or your wife saved, don't give up. Stand and believe. Believe. It hasn't happened yet. But don't get frustrated. Don't get upset. Don't become, you know, when we get like that and we start to doubt, life can become lonely because we feel that God's failed us and he's neglected us. But it says in Hebrews 6:12, through faith and patience inherit the promise. Do you believe that God has made a promise to you? Of course he has. He promises all of us who love him. All of us who are called according to his will and purpose, that all things will work together for our good and those that we love. You know, and as I said, it's easy to have faith sometimes, but it's harder to have patient faith, faith that's willing to wait. Sometimes God will give us a promise, but we want it right now. You know, when we think about the story of the children of Israel, when God, Moses, led them out of Egypt, God could have taken them an easy way. But it says in Exodus 13:17, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was the shorter and the easier. My words, easier. For God said, if they face war, they may change their mind and return to Egypt. God knew that they weren't strong enough to face the difficulties, but he knew they'd be strong enough to see a miracle. And so he took them and he opened the water and they saw a miracle. Now, they still needed faith to walk through, but there were those to lead them through, and that was easier than fighting a battle. If something's not happening on your timetable, remind yourself that God knows what he's doing. He knows. Do you know how much we insult God when we struggle? It's like, well, God, you're not up to the task. And you, the other thing about this patience is that while we're waiting, leave it. Don't meddle. Once you meddle, you'll muck it up. We see the account of Sarah and Abraham. What did they do? They were waiting for the promise. God had promised that they would have a son. And Sarah got sick of waiting. And she started to meddle, so she didn't rest. And, everyone says, well, it was Sarah's fault. What about Abram? You know, he was a man of God. No, he succumbed. He had a choice too. And like Adam, he should have said to Sarai, no, we will wait on the promise. What did God say? But he had the faith, but he lost his patience. And he allowed his wife. And it also shows us, ladies and men, how God has a place for each one of us and how we need to fit in, and how a woman, unless she's really yielded to the things of God, can turn her husband's heart away. And so women, we need to be very, very careful that we are so in tune with the things of God that we stand and allow God to make our men of God. We can't manipulate it. We can't do it, though we try. When we get married, we think, oh, that'll change. I remember when just after John and I were married, and John was out on the and he knows I'm going to say this, so it's okay. He was out on the road with the boys, and I was pregnant with Kayleen, and I wasn't feeling very well, and I wanted to go home. And there's another issue I won't go into, but his mother was a little bit resistant to me in these days. Anyway, he was out kicking the ball, and I'm standing there feeling a bit sick, and John's mother, who I love dearly, came up and she went, oh, you know, no one's going to change John. I hope you haven't got any ideas about changing, because he's very set in his ways. And I thought, but you don't know, I'm going to change him. Didn't say it because I was very nervy and frightened. I wouldn't say those things. Oh, and didn't God take me to task over that? And see, not that there was anything wrong in what he was doing, but it was that I wanted him now. And so I had to learn that God said, you know, take your hands off. He's mine, not yours. And you let me have him and he'll be everything you want him to be. And praise God, that's what happened. But God had to change me too, because I wasn't everything John needed me to be. So it's a growing process. It doesn't happen overnight, but as we yield to God, it happens. And there's struggles along the way, but it's wonderful. It's really wonderful in God. And so here we have that we've got this situation with Abraham. God promised Abraham and Sarah a baby, but years and years went by and nothing happened. And so in their minds, it wasn't going to happen. They stepped out of faith. And so Sarah arranged for Abraham to sleep with one of her maidservants, and Ishmael was born. And didn't that bring difficulty into the camp? Ishmael was difficult to raise, and there were all sorts of complications. You see, then years later, Sarah got the promise. And how awful would you feel when you've interfered and you've brought all of this in and then you get the promise? And so we need to understand that in our relationship, we need to trust God. Don't settle for Ishmael when you can have Isaac. God has promised you a promise. Don't meddle, because when we meddle, when we try to do it on our own, we will end up with Ishmael. And we will end up with loads of problems that just don't go away. And we cannot eliminate people. We can eliminate in God problems. Well, God doesn't eliminate, he changes the situation. But what we do, we get into difficulties and then we try to eliminate people and we say, I can't cope with that, so I need them out of my life. Well, it's not going to happen like that. Don't birth Ishmael when God wants to give you Isaac. God wants to give you the full promise. And so there's a difference between God giving you something and you having to work to make it happen. We don't have to work to make it happen. We just have to trust. And Exodus 14, 13 to 14, I love this scripture. Moses told the people, fear not, stand firm, confident, undismayed, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians you have seen today, you will never see again. For the Lord will fight for you, and you will hold your peace and remain at rest. Isn't that a beautiful promise? And you know, that still stands today. If you're praying for someone, if you're praying for something, but you see, God is not a God who will be meddled with. If somebody steps out into their own will and lives a life of sin, we cannot be wanting them to be where we want them to be. We have to then give them over to God and pray God, the Holy Spirit, will convict them. We cannot just try to manipulate them back, whether it's a husband, whether it's a son, whether it's a family member. We've got to release them to God and know that they, sadly, have chosen. I'm talking about living in sin and doing things in disobedience to God. We've got to hand them over to God. It's very painful. And sometimes they, God doesn't, they choose it, but they put themselves through terrible times because they will not acknowledge God's word. They've walked away. They've decided their way is better. They've lived the Ishmael life. But we continue to pray and believe that God will have his way in the end, that God will bring us. If we enter into this rest of trusting God's timing, you won't give birth to Ishmael. You will give birth to Isaac because you have received faith with patience and trust that God's timing is perfect. And I believe too that next year John's apricot tree will flourish with fruit. But you see, sometimes we flourish and we think, oh, no good, isn't that wonderful? And I've led someone to the Lord, and we get so caught up. Be careful, because that's when God will cut your branches back. He'll cut you back to the point where you know you need to totally depend on him. Because it's not me. How many times have I heard God say, watch it, watch it, the glory is mine. God is a jealous God. He will not be outdone. We are to give him the glory. We are only here. It's only his will that enables us to do what we need to do. And it's only then that we're going to be effective for him, because we are revealing his glory and not our own. We need to have a breakthrough. It may be your health. Many people struggle with their health. I know people that have had all sorts of afflictions, but they still trust the Lord. You know, it's no good saying, oh, well, I don't feel well today. Now, there are times when you're really, really sick, you can't come to church. But if I'm not well, this is where I want to be, because this is where the anointing is. It doesn't mean God can't touch me where I am, but I want to be with other believers. And I know in my own body, I trust God every day, and walk in him because I believe the promise. I believe that God showed me that I will fulfill all that he set for me to do. And I know that's not complete. And so it's like a cup. I'm going to drink every drop. I'm not going to, you know, the other day I was came in, I'd had a big day and I was thirsty, and John made me a cup of tea. And it was a beautiful, there's nothing more refreshing than a cup of black tea. And I sat down and I got every little drop. And God said, that's what I've got for you, that you will taste every drop. Don't leave some in the bottom by giving up and complaining, but drink every drop. And God, you see, as well, has set an appointed time when we're born and when we die. So rest, don't get all caught up in age. It was interesting, John and I watched, and I must finish, but we watched the Australian story last week. The last 2 weeks it's on, yes, Bob Hawke. And it was interesting because His wife was a darling, his wife Hazel. And so many things he's been through, and I don't agree with a lot of Bob Hawke's principles. But it was interesting, I thought, that he said at the end, I'm 85, I don't think about dying, and I'm not afraid to die. And I thought, that's interesting. I wonder, because he was raised in a Christian home. His father was a very godly man, and you just don't know what could be taking place. So at that moment I prayed, even though it was a recorded program, prayed for Bob Hawke. But you see, we never know what God is doing underneath. And you see, once God exposes himself and the word to you, he will bring that word to your remembrance. The things, and as we get older, isn't it interesting how poignant things become? Or is it just me? How you reflect back on life as a child. And like you go through times, like with my childhood, it wasn't very happy. But now it's like God's revealing some of the good things to me. Some of the things that I couldn't see because there was so much other gunk. And things become poignant. And little things that were said to me that maybe I'd overlooked, that suddenly I can see how God's fitted them in. Little different things, other people, and I realised people were praying for me. And so it's very, very important. So we've got to believe that God, if that is exposed to someone, God will bring it back. And so we need to understand that whatever it is that we commit to God, rest in it. If you're just asking for a lot of money because you're selfish, forget it, it'll never come. You can live until you're 120 and you won't get it. But if you're asking for the things, that doesn't mean God doesn't want to bless people financially, he does. People that are wealthy, it doesn't mean they're godless people. But you see, God trusts people with wealth that know how to handle it. Some people, if they suddenly had wealth, they just go out and spend it on themselves. But I know people that have wealth and they use that awesomely, that money. God blesses them, but they bless. We are blessed to be a blessing, whether it's with money, whether it's our home, our children, but more importantly, with our very lives. God flows in that he might flow out through you and be a stream of grace, a stream of encouragement, a stream of grace to other people. In Acts 1:7, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates. The Father has set it in his own, by his own authority. It's set. People, don't labour. Let go and trust. Rest. Are you frustrated and crying out, God, when? Then you need to understand that time, God's timing is often a mystery. He doesn't do things on our timetable. Obviously, if a loved one, like with me, gets sick, we feel, we've got emotions, but then we go back to what God is doing in this situation. If you've got a difficult teenager, and they can be difficult. Children grow when they're babies. In fact, I heard someone say the other day, I was listening to something, and they said, oh, when our children are born, we just think the sun and the moon shines out of them and they're just so beautiful. And then they get to 16 and we think, goodness me, where did this child come from? But we have to see that's growing up and that they've got to go through their things. But we've got to remember the promise of why that child was given and love that child and encourage that child through those times. Don't react to the actions. React to the grace that God has given you for them and believe that whatever you have sown in, God will bring it. God will bring it and you will see the increase. And so we see his word promises that he will not be too late, not one single day, not one single moment. And again, but these things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue even a single day. So like Habakkuk, stand. And sometimes, you know, I believe in verbalising the word, memorising the word, but I believe in living the word. And I will actually get and I will stand. on my own, and I will take that stance and I will call those things and I will say, Lord, thank you. I'm standing now not in my defiance. I'm standing in that obedience to you and believing that I will see that promise. And so that outward stance is an indication of the inward, that I will not let go. I will not be shaken. We've got to really cling on to the things of God and believe that his timing is perfect. And we forget he loves you. He loves you. And not, you know, we were talking the other day at Our Ladies, and Eula was saying, you know, how in the English language, how love is so misunderstood and overused. In Greek, the word love has a very, very deep meaning. You see, we say, I love flowers and I love perfume and I love this. But you see, God, then we start to see that's what God's love is like, and it's not. His love is a total giving love. It's an unconditional love. It's an agape love that went to the cross and died for you. And so his love is never ending, and he will never give up. He will see you through if you just trust in him. So, Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the prophet Habakkuk, Lord God, and what he teaches us about standing firm, about writing the message, Lord, that you now have come by your Spirit and you've written the message on our hearts. They're no longer on tablets of stone, but written on our heart, and written so that we will reveal you out of our very lives, out of our very being. And that, Lord God, then we can stand in that confidence. Whatever it is, church, whatever you as individuals, God has spoken today his word through his vessel. It is not my word, it is his word. And whatever it is of this word that you have caught hold of, take it right into your very being. Say, Lord, yes, thank you, that's mine. I claim that today afresh. I will stand and I will believe, knowing that it will be done. In Jesus' name, it will be done. That I will see the promise. I will see the answer to all that I have brought before you in prayer. That, Lord God, you not only wipe away my tears, but you dry them. And you give me joy, tears of joy, as I see the fulfillment of the promise. Whatever it is that I committed to you against this day, Lord, that I will see it come to fulfillment in my time. So, Father, we praise you for your word. We thank you for the life of your word, the power of your word, and the revelation of your word. Just reveal it to each heart now in Jesus' precious name. And we give you all the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.